Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, observing the armies, text number 30. Nacha shoknam yavastatum ramativa cha me manaha nimitani cha pashami viparitani keshava. Na, nor, cha, also, shakna, nomi, am I able, avasitum, to stay, brahmati, forgetting, eva, as, cha, and, may my manaha mind imitani causes cha also pashami I see viparitani just the opposite Keshava O killer of the demon Keshi Krishna. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I am now unable to stand here any longer. I am forgetting myself, and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune, O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon. Purport, due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield, and he was forgetting himself on account of his weakness of his mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. Bhayam dvitiya vivineshita syat. Such fearfulness and loss of mental equilibrium take place in persons who are too affected by material conditions. Arjuna envisioned only painful reverses in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory over his foe. The words nimitani viparitani are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectation, he thinks, why am I here? Why am I here? Excuse me, I have to. Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. The conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pains. Arjuna thought that his victory in the battle would only be the cause of lamentation for him. Nacha shoknam avastatum brahmativa chame manah nimitani chapashami viparitani keshava. I am now unable to stand here any longer. I am forgetting myself, and my mind is reeling. I see only cause of misfortune, O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon. Arjuna is a classical case of material consciousness. We would expect that to be so, because Bhagavad Gita has been spoken since time immemorial, and Krishna knows exactly how to arrange things to display exactly what he's going to explain in Bhagavad Gita. But I think all of us can relate to what Krishna says when he says, Dhyayato vishayam pumsam sangas te shupajayate sangas sanjayate kama kama krodo bujayate krodo bhavati samoha samaha smriti vibramsat smriti bramsat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashati. While contemplating the objects of the senses, person develops attachment to them. So Arjuna, he was in his chariot with Krishna, and he said, my dear Krishna, please draw this chariot between the two armies so that I can see here who has come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana. Senior Obiyarmaide, Ritam Sabhayame Chuta, Yavan Etanariksheham, Yodam Kamun Vashitam, Karamaya Sada Yodavyam, Asmin Rana Samujame. So then Krishna very dutifully brings the chariot between the two armies. So here Arjuna gets the chance to contemplate. Yotsyamanam Avekshayham, Yete Trasamagata, Dhatarashtrasradora Durabhuve, Yude Priya Chakirshtavaha. Let me see those who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil minded sons of Dhritarashtra. Evil minded son of Dhritarashtra. So then Krishna draws a chariot between the two armies, and this is where it all starts. Arjuna becomes bewildered. He sees Bhishma Drona Pramukata. Bhishma Drona Pramukata Saresham Chas Mahikshitam. Uvachaparta Paishaitan Saravetan Kuruniti. Then he sees Bhishma, Drona, and all the chieftains on both sides. He sees all these different relatives. And it is explained here. Tatrai Pashat Sitim Partha Kuru Pitrinata Pitamaha Achman Maturan Potrans Bratrin Putram Potram Sakim Sita Swasrun Sridas Chaiva Senior of Europe. Then Arjuna becomes overwhelmed with compassion. Tan Samiksha Sakundiya Sarvan Pandum Vastitam Kripaya Parya Vishto Vishidan Ivan Abravit. Then he becomes Kripa. Kripa means compassion, also means miserly. Here, Kripaya, by compassion, Kripa. Kripana is also a miser. So he becomes overwhelmed with compassion. And then he becomes all these symptoms of bodily disturbance begin to function, begin to act. So this is when the mind becomes disturbed either by ecstasy or by material consciousness, then it manifests itself in the body. And dayato vishayam pumsam, when one contemplates the objects of the senses, in this regard he was contemplating his relatives. Now nowadays people don't care about their relatives anymore. They become disturbed over a new car or a ice cream sandwich. they get such reactions from these things nowadays. The relatives, they can all go to hell, who cares? But that pizza on Sunday, I can't miss it. I'd rather the whole world disappear than them. In any case, one way or another, one becomes attached, and then from that attachment, lust develops. So, of course, we usually think of lust as simply romantic lust, but anything where excessive attachment is there is due to lust. We call that love or affection or whatever we may call it, but it's a reaction. Lust is just attachment, that's all. It's a very intense attachment. Therefore, people can say they love their house, they love their dog, they love their favorite team, and they sometimes love their wife or children. Because they're just attached. Why? Because it brings them some pleasure. They like it. It's appealing to the senses at that particular time. And of course, generally speaking, you know, with your friends, you eat, drink, and be merry. So that's you remember gratifying your senses with them. And therefore, you become attached to them. But then from there comes greed. You want more of it. And then from the greed, when it can't be satisfied, then there is frustration or anger. At the worst, there's anger. Otherwise, there's just internal frustration. And instead of burning other people, you burn yourself with frustration. And then comes there, illusion. Because there must be some cause of your unhappiness, of your frustration. It couldn't possibly be you. So you have to invent a whole scenario. That's where our distorted perceptions of reality come from. Illusion. All based upon our inability to constantly gratify our senses and creating a vision of the world based on that. How the world's unfair, I'm a victim, I'm a nice person, but people don't appreciate it, and therefore there's so much trouble in the world. Nothing to do with me, because how can anything be wrong with me? I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. And then from that, then forgetfulness. Another, anything that could help us remember anything we did wrong, we forget. And anything that can help us remember what other people did wrong, we'll never forget. We're completely justified in our lust, anger, greed, illusion, and our illusory conception. It's completely absolute truth for the moment. And then we lose our spiritual intelligence. We can't accept any kind of spiritual intelligence that actually, you could actually be something wrong with you. Ah, come on. You must be envious of me. How can you dare tell me there's anything wrong with me or anything I've ever done in the past? Sometimes I'll admit it because I'm very humble, but other than that, it couldn't be, you know, it's only due to my generosity and humility that I sometimes imagine that I ever did anything wrong in the past. So we lose our memory, we lose our spiritual perspective on things, and therefore we feel 100% justified in our next material activity. It's like the fly flying into the fire. It feels completely, it's very enthusiastic. If you ever see a fly trying to fly into a fire, it doesn't do it, you know, lethargically. It does it with complete enthusiasm. Voila. So people do material activities with, if they have any passion left, with a lot of enthusiasm. They go to a movie, they know at the end of the movie it's the same old story. They've seen it a million times. There's nothing new. But they go there with enthusiasm. And most of the time they eat the popcorn and drink whatever they're drinking and try to pass the time watching the same old thing. And they come out of the movie and they try to imagine that they actually had a good time. And then they repeat the same thing over and over again because they can't remember that they wasted their time the last time. Or if they can remember, they can't admit that they did anything wrong. So life goes on. But on the other hand, so this is all, it can be reversed by hearing transcendental knowledge. But hearing transcendental knowledge is not sufficient unless one can accept it, or at least have the idea that it's possible that my intelligence is lacking. Just imagine we ourselves were fortunate because none of us went to a big university with a big name, and we don't have a big title, most of us, behind after our name or before our name. So therefore, we don't think we're 100% intelligent. We haven't learned everything about the past, present, and future. But just imagine going to a university, going to a graduate school, postgraduate school, post-postgraduate school. I know one of the devotees who, she has 4 PhD degrees. She's a nice Madhujiva. But with all that theoretical material knowledge behind you, how difficult it is to accept the fact that you're foolish. You don't know anything. You spend your whole life getting degrees to prove that you know something, and someone comes along and tells you you're a fool. What will you think? Therefore, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura said that modern education turns, well, by birth one is foolish, and then by modern education one becomes less than an animal. So Arjuna was supposedly brought up in a big family and had so much spiritual education, personal friend of Krishna, but by contact with this sentiment towards his relatives, immediately forgot that he was eternal, that they're eternal, that Duryodhana was a fool and a rascal, that he was actually impeding the progress of the civilization. Very difficult, because Duryodhana was quite a good manager. People had enough to eat, there was no problems in the kingdom, materially speaking, the weather was good, the water was pure, the food was good, everything, materially speaking, was going apparently very well, but he was a demon. Therefore, there was no Krishna consciousness, and the whole purpose of their society was being lost, to become Krishna conscious. But Arjuna forgot that too, and therefore he was bewildered. He forgot the purpose. He didn't know the purpose of fighting. He thought Krishna wanted him to fight to get some material benefit, either go to the heavenly planets if he lost, or to get the kingdom. He forgot that the purpose of doing everything was to obtain Krishna consciousness, to be in Krishna consciousness, to satisfy Krishna. Therefore, Arjuna found himself in the material concept of life, that either he went to the heavenly planets or he stayed on the earth and conquered the kingdom. He'd never be happy either way. And no one could be happy in the material world. Arjuna had at least understood that. He was in material consciousness, and he was intelligent enough to understand that nothing you do in the material world will make you happy. Therefore, it was quite frustrating. Whatever he did would be a loss, would some way or another lose. He couldn't win and he couldn't break even. So he was intelligent enough, after experiencing all this emotional crisis, to ask Krishna, what should I do? It looks like whatever I do, I'm a loser. So he's humble enough to understand that although he's a powerful warrior and he had so much opulence and so much fame and everything, but he realized that if my choice is in between killing my relatives or fleeing or doing anything, everything I do is I'm at a loss. I'm going to lose somehow. So what am I supposed to do? So he turned to Krishna, and then Krishna gets to speak the Bhagavad Gita to him. Now most people, when they think, they never think whatever I do, I'm at a loss, I'm going to lose. It's useless. They think, what can I do so I get the least loss? Where I wind up losing the least. That's the best. It's like nowadays, the politicians, they're all the same, really. They're all working for the same people. There's really no difference between any of them. No person becomes a politician, at least in a big country, in a powerful country, unless they got there by either compromising themselves in some way and therefore becoming what do they call that when you come and then people extort it, when they extort you? Were they, what's that? No, when people have something over you that you can't, and if you don't do what they tell you, they're going to expose you. What do they call that?
Extort.
No, extort is when you try to get money out of people. Blackmail you, yeah, so. Most of them are blackmailed. They don't get there without getting, you know, going through the progressive stages of being blackmailed. First they ask you to do something innocent, fairly innocent, which is not, it was illegal, And then they do it, and they record the whole thing, and they take note of it. And they give you a certain elevation in the material position, because you agreed to do, follow their instruction. And then progressively, if you want higher and higher levels of advancement in their authority structure, then you have to do more and more sinful activities, more and more abominable activities. And they record everything. And if you don't go along with them, if you have some conscience, then either they get rid of you or they expose you with all their evidence that you did all these things wrong. And that way, anyone who's prominent in society, then they're all working together. There's always a class who appear to be championing the cause of the common people. But we all know as soon as they get in office, they don't champion any cause except their own and their people who are puppet masters. And if they don't get in office, then they always criticize, champion, expose, but nothing ever happens. Like in American Congress, they always have these hearings exposing all the wrongdoings of these criminals, but they never do anything about it. Because they're all in together. They're all working for the same people. Just different actors playing different parts. And the foolish people, they think that these people love me. They're working for me. They're elected by me. But they're not elected by anyone. They're just put into position by a group of people who are motivated by other than spiritual desires. Everyone in the material world who's not Krishna conscious, to one degree or another, are just motivated by lust, anger, and greed, especially in Kali Yuga. Not exactly benevolent emotions. And there are simply those who are more prominent, those who can put others into illusion, thinking that they're actually the defenders of these people. So that's Duryodhana. Simply a selfish personality, but understood how the material nature works and therefore worked according to it to get power and position, at least to try to. And Arjuna fell into bewilderment and therefore he forgot actually what the aim of life was. He thought it was either to get opulence or not to get it. He forgot that the aim of life is to please Krishna. Therefore Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to him so that at the end he realized, yes, it's a fact, he can't win. Either he fought in the battlefield and won, got the kingdom, but that's not the real gain because it's all temporary. You get a kingdom, you're going to lose it eventually, so there's no real gain. And if you went to the heavenly planets, there's real no gain either because you only stay there for a little bit of time compared to eternal time, fraction of a moment. So there's no real gain doing that either. Since it's all in the material world, it's all just a waste of time. But when he realized that the actual purpose was to do something for Krishna, and that would actually be beneficial for him and to everyone else on the battlefield, then he was willing to fight and follow Krishna's direction. So that's the situation we all find ourselves in, trying to choose between good and so-called evil, so-called good and so-called evil, but it's all evil in the material world because it's not Krishna conscious. So therefore it's all against the real welfare, the real benefit of the soul, and therefore it's all evil, whatever we do in the material world. We may give ourselves trophies and awards and praise, but if it's not in Krishna consciousness, then it's Shravam Eva Hi Kevalam. It's just ultimately a waste of time. And most of the welfare, even the material welfare activities nowadays, they're all bogus. They're all just exploiting the so-called great personalities who are benefactors. None of them are benefactors because they don't know how to benefit people. Even they sincerely try, but without cheating people, you can't get the resources to even sincerely try. If anyone really wants to benefit people and do something good, no one will actually give them the resources to do it because the people who have the resources generally don't want to do any good for people. And if they did want to do something good, they don't know what's good. Therefore, the conclusion is the only good thing is to tell people about Krishna and help them become Krishna conscious. Everything else is just going to be a waste of time. That's more or less the Bhagavad Gita's message. And that's my message too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Even in the Hare Krishna movement, sometimes we don't realize how important what we're doing is. We're seeing the whole society crumbling right before us. And we're wondering, well, maybe if someone good gets elected, maybe they can solve the problems. Maybe this demon is actually good at heart, but he's just pretending to be a demon. Or maybe this person is eating meat and having illicit sex and gambling and taking. Maybe he's really a good person. Maybe he's really working for the welfare of others, somehow or another. Krishna is in his heart, we know. But actually, they're just being directed by the modes, that's all. We're all being directed by the modes, as much as we're not Krishna conscious. But as much as we're Krishna conscious, we're being directed by Krishna. But most of our leaders in society, they're absolutely, you know, very few of them have any Krishna consciousness. And if they do have any God consciousness, they're definitely not in a position to utilize it for the actual advancement of society. Any questions, comments? Anyone want to defend the demons? You're raising your hand. Okay. Kuala, Granth Raj, Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.